She closed her eyes, sighed, then said that she'd been given no warning of the crash. I think it was a small explosion in the engine. I was just about to rotate and get the old crate into the air when all hell broke loose.
Old crate, Charles thought. World War II slang. Can you sort it out?
The folks from Farnborough be asking that. She tried to shift on the bed, tried to make herself more comfortable, but it did not work. And I reckon I want to know as well. Very unpleasant. Never been in a real prang before.
There it was again. Ghosts of the RAF and World War II. Prang. Could it have been done accidentally on purpose? She wrinkled her nose and scowled, as though this thought had not come to her before.
I reckon it could have been. It felt like some kind of explosion. But who the...
You tell me, Hills.
As he said it, Charlie recalled the scene of the crash, Father Gregory looking grave and worried.
Can you hear me, Hills?
He had asked the semi-conscious girl. Did this mean he was on close terms with the young pilot? Charlie thought it was about time to come clean.
Hillary, I'm working with Mr. Palfrey. He said you were doing some jobs for him as well. True or false?
Who wants to know, Mr. Gauntlet?
Call me Charlie Hills. I also remember Chris, the Lizzie pilot.
You knew my pa? Hey, that's...
That's what Kip Palfrey told me to use, to give you my bona fides.
Oh. Oh, yes. Mr. Palfrey knew my pa. He was in the RAF at the end of the war. Flew Lizzie's for Mr. Palfrey's crowd.
The penny dropped. Ah, Lizzie's, sure. Got it.
A Lizzie was a Western Lysander aircraft. Big radial engine, high, odd wing above a greenhouse-like canopy, fixed undercarriage with little spats. During the months and years before the D-Day landings to free Europe from the Nazi occupation, Allied agents had been flown into occupied Europe in Lysanders. They had an alarmingly short take-off and landing capability, and the pilots who flew them from the so-called Moon Squadrons relied on faultless navigational skills and an ability to land in and take off from French fields by insubstantial moonlight.
Looks, he thought. What did people know about that time nowadays? They got on Le Shuttle, or rode a ferry into France, and roamed at will. They probably couldn't imagine those old days, when to be on the continent of Europe was to be among enemies. Unthinkable now. Outdated and unthinkable. You're pretty young to have a World War II pilot as a father.
They said of Charlie Gauntlet that he was the kind of man who would always query your birth date, if he didn't think the numbers added up. I was an afterthought. She gave him her best wide-eyed grin. Pa didn't meet Ma until the 50s. They had my brothers, bang, bang, bang. Then a dry spell. I didn't arrive until well into the swinging 60s. Must have been all those Beatles songs and the rising hemlines.
One of the cooks with an E.
Gauntlet gave her a sly smile.
Always the worst kind, with an E. Known for it. So what are you doing for old Kit Palfrey?
Watching people.
Who?
The Father Superior and the Demon Novice Master Father Benedict.
And what did you find out, Hilary Cook, with an E?
That the pair of them go back a long way, maybe even to the war. Benedict's relatively new here, came less than a year ago and took over as Novice Master when Father Ambrose died. And he speaks incredibly good English for a foreigner. You'd never know unless someone pointed it out.
Who pointed it out, Hills?
That was odd. As far as he could recall, Corporal Knight was British, though he could be wrong. It was Day who had been undeniably foreign. Mr. Palfrey? Well, he said it could be that he was from abroad.
She said it as though abroad was the name of a foreign country. Okay. Anything else?
They didn't trust me. Gregory accused me of tampering with his mail.
And were you?
Of course. That was part of the deal, peep in the mail. Did a rather botched job on one envelope, which led to the old superior getting on my case.
Learn anything?
Palfrey knows. Yes, Gregory has a very handsome fortune tucked away in an offshore bank.
What do you call a fortune, Hills?
Round 3 million sterling.
That's a fortune.
And Benedict's got land and money, Conventional, locked away in a Swiss bank.
Doesn't mean a thing anymore.
Doesn't stop him informing him that a monthly payment hasn't arrived 2 months running.
And where's that from?
Grozny, Chechnya, or Tiflis, Republic of Georgia. Gauntlet heard a lot of bells and whistles going off in the back of his head.
And he doesn't trust you either.
Wouldn't like to be left alone with him on a dark night. Wouldn't turn my back on him.
Maybe you already have, Hills.
Oh, shit, she said calmly, as though it were an aside, like it looks like rain.
You want to talk some more? You look all in.
When are you going back?
To the Holy Father's? Sometime tomorrow.
Romeo taking you?
I suppose. Haven't arranged it yet.
I should. Romeo tends to get booked up. She gave him a wan little smile. Can you come in again?
Sure. Rest now, eh?
Back in his room at the Central, he tried telephoning the Dolphin Square number, but all he got was the tape. So he tried the advanced feature, dialing the number and then bleeping in the code. There were 6 messages, 3 from one of Bex's friends. Bex, where are you? I'm only in town for 3 days. Tough, Charlie thought. There were 2 for him. Waterstones had now received the book he had ordered. Only he had not ordered any book.
Curious, he muttered.
Then dialed the number Kit Palfrey had given him for the pilot, Romeo Rockwell. A disembodied female voice told him he had reached Rockwell Aviation, and he should speak after the beep. He put on his telephone voice and left an uncomplicated message giving the hotel and room number. He also said he needed a flight to Ringmarookie on the following day, afternoon preferred. He replaced the receiver and prepared for bed. Then he opened the file with the latest pages of Naomi's journal.